it's a Friday. Where the party at? Text me where the party is at. I'm gonna pull up. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a lovely Friday. Let's go.
On Friday. It's time to party. Let me see you swing and sway. Tell me, are you with me? Are you with me? On Friday. Time to party. Let me see you swing and sway. Tell me, are you with me? Are you with me? Friday, payday. Ready to do the things we love. We're gonna get a groove on all night long. DJ,
yeah.
And put your hands on my eyes and say, it may be raining, but who cares about the weather? Get up, cause when the heat is on, we'll all be getting wetter. Stand up, it's the start of the weekend. Don't waste no time, for tonight is your
on
night.
Friday,
time to party. Let me see you swing and sway. So let her, ooh, what a sight. Here's where the party starts, things can only get better. Get up, just make your way onto the dance floor, get together. Stand up, it's the start of the weekend. Don't waste no time, for tonight is your
night. On Friday,
time to party. Let me see you swing and swing.
Tonight, more pressure mounts on President Akufo-Addo as the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra petitions him to declare a state of emergency over Galamsey.
The priests, religious and lay faithful of the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra, the Conference of Major Superiors of Religious Ghana, have observed with great alarm the destruction of our environment, especially through illegal mining.
Details as First Deputy Speaker of Parliament still insists shoot to kill is the best option to dealing with Galamsey on river bodies.
And when the lines in zone mind you, and so, oh yeah, Sanipano, Bonuchana, and Sama, you know, Sama, no,
you don't see Sama, no, still your mom, too.
Say, but two you so would deserve to see a boot, too.
More, our statesman Kwame Pienim is warning against the politicization of the fight against Galamsey.
This issue is too big. It should not be politicized. It's a national issue. If a politician comes and says this existential threat, I do not have a proposal, credible proposal, for resolving it in 6 months' time, he is not competent to govern this country.
We'll bring you all the angles to this developing story, plus what this Moscow miners wants to do to check Galamsey. This is Top Story, as always, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra has petitioned President Akufo-Addo to declare a state of emergency over Galamsey amidst the devastating effects illegal mining is having on the country's water bodies and natural resources. The church embarked on a prayer walk against Galamsey today to drum home the need for the declaration of a state of emergency. This follows Labour's pressure on the government in the last few weeks to end Galamsey. Now, this pressure led to the president deploying the military to Galamsey site in a renewed effort to clamp down on the practice. My colleague Maxwell Agbagba, who was part of the team, filed this report.
In some minutes, the military is going to blow up a moving machine and get access to lie down this way. And that is what they're going to use to blow up this machine. He's counting down three, and then he'll blow it up. It's going to be so loud.
This is not a war zone. The explosion you just heard was from soldiers using explosives to destroy an excavator in the forest near the Brim River. Other equipment, including water pumps and Shanfan machines belonging to illegal miners, were also destroyed and set ablaze.
Part of the marching orders to the military on this Operation Halt campaign against illegal mining is to destroy every illegal mining equipment used in mining in water bodies. And that is exactly what personnel here on the ground are doing.
The journey through the thick forest was long, as soldiers searched for illegal mining sites along water bodies. With the help of drones, they were able to locate and target these sites.
The heavily polluted Brim, looking very brownish in color. It is a reflection of the state of Ghana's water bodies.
You can see that the water is very, very, very heavy polluted.
The chairman of the Eastern Region Ghana National Small Scale Miners Association, Mohamed Alwa, expressed deep concern about the continuous pollution of water bodies caused by illegal miners.
The water is very, very, very heavily polluted. As a result of that, you can see the color of the water have changed drastically, and it's something that is very bad if you look at the water, how they polluted it, the illegal miners polluted it.
Now I'm in a naval boat with military personnel on the Brim River, heading towards a site where several Shanfan machines are operating. The soldiers are tasked with destroying all of them, and here they did exactly that. Using large hammers, the soldiers destroyed the Shanfan machines that illegal miners were using to extract gold from the river. The commander of the Joint Task Force Operation Halt 2, Colonel Eric Tinodu, says the main focus of the current operation is to stop the water pollution caused by the illegal miners.
In all, we were able to destroy about 18 Shanfans that were on the water bodies, and then about 10 machines, water pumping machines, also on the water body. This is an effort to help bring back the color of our water body. And so it will continue. Just like I said, today is the first day, tomorrow will continue. But then I'm unable to tell you where we are going tomorrow. When it's time, I'll let you know. But for now, all that I can say is that we are going to all the water bodies. And we have started from Brim. Tomorrow, we'll go to another location, and then we'll continue until we cover all the water bodies in the country. And hopefully, we want to see a change in the color of our water bodies.
But Ghanaians want more, and it is the reason the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra and other CSOs marched on the street of Accra today to demand the president declares a state of emergency. My colleague Kenneth Jesse has been with them all day and joins me in studio with details. Ken, let's start from how the protest was organized.
Well, it was a peaceful protest which started from the Holy Spirit Cathedral at Adabraka all the way to Christ the King Parish, just opposite the Jubilee House. I mean, it involved bishops, Roman sisters, church members, CSOs, all of them in unison demanding for one thing, an end to Galamsey. They want immediate measures that will curb the illegal mining menace. So overall, it was a very peaceful march. I mean, you had a lot of security guarding the place as well.
Okay, and what were the demands of the priests?
Yes, and as you have already mentioned, they are demanding a state of emergency to be declared by the president. And beside the state of the emergency declaration, they acknowledge the fact that the president has deployed some military personnel to key Galamsey areas who are destroying Shanfans and then illegal mining equipment, but they want more. They say they want more so that they see that it is yielding results. Those are those demands.
The priests, religious and lay faithful of the Catholic Archdiocese of Accra, the Conference of Major Superiors of Religious Ghana, have observed with great alarm the destruction of our environment, especially through illegal mining, otherwise known as Galamsey. We are, however, baffled at the fact that all the communiques issued by the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference are falling on deaf ears. As Christians, we feel compelled to do something beyond the many statements that have been issued regarding this disaster, hence our environmental prayer walk, to beseech God for his help and also to pray for those in public offices who are vested with power to direct our collective resolve. We want to thank you for at least witnessing that something is being done after our last meeting with your reps. We are grateful, but we feel more can be done. We are also grateful to the fact that you respected our work and you gave us good security. We are going to end with a prayer. And as we promise you, it's just a prayer walk. And we think a lot of physical things have been done. And we don't know what is happening at the presidency. We believe we are beseeching God so that some spiritual energy will come into him so that our president will have the strength to do what. Not just to the government, but to all citizens.
So that was the demand by the priest. What did the person who received the petition on behalf of the presidency say?
Right. That person said that the chief of staff was originally supposed to have come to receive it, but is unable to receive that. He thanked the priests and the Catholic Church for organizing a very peaceful demonstration and acknowledged that indeed they need the will of God also to fight this Galamse menace.
Heal their land. The spiritual aspect of healing a land comes adhering to these four principles that the Lord God Almighty himself told Solomon at the commissioning of his temple. So we think that you are in the right direction. We shall pass your petition to the president. And I assure you, as soon as he returns from international assignment, he would have a dialogue with the country. He shall speak to the nation because this matter is of prime interest to all of us. It cuts across everybody. It goes beyond politics. It cuts across every citizen. And we shall give the utmost attention to it. Already some measures have been taken, but the president shall communicate to the nation pursuant to the measures that have been taken. Thank you so very much. And I must also commend you for the peaceful way in which this walk was conducted. Indeed, you have showed that pledge. Appreciate it. It's a good example for all those who intend to embark on exercising their democratic rights by going through demonstrations or picketing or anything of the sort. We are most grateful. May God bless us all. God bless our nation. Make it great and strong.
Well, more reactions are coming in on the back of this issue, as well as what needs to be done to end Galamse. First, listen to Deputy Speaker of Parliament Joseph Wusu, who insists shoot to kill is the best option to dealing with Galamse on river bodies.
I'm saying, more mining license. I'm saying, well, prospecting license. Prospecting. I mean, so my man who said prospecting license, they are the mawa. Utu amanaka krebi, be 1 foot square. Now, utu ako form. Now, afamati ya alamwako. But they're my eight. It's about 100 meters square. And only license is all mine you. And so, oh yeah. Sanipano. Bonitia na ede. Mr. Sama genuo. Mr. Sama no.
Mr. Sama no still yamu mutu.
Say a betoons you know so would deserve to see a boot you.
Let me see you kuno. By extension.
Well, maybe a tubono no. Tokodunkawa. Or no. A bus de pakea. Some fine obey 15. Kind of pakea. Omom to swing in our tongue. They dived into the water. So I came to a conclusion, sir. The best way to deal with that person, so person I pan out ten. Boba kumi to ubi a mebi.
Ya yeti mvoya gana phone yes that mubo yuntu.
Na, omai, boni bi oho anywhere we are able to. Sa mindset say, ya boni petu wau. Ni pan odi e uno boni tulu wana ede. And everybody who is mining on the water body, we dini.
So that is the first Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Joseph Osei Owusu, there. Ken, try and translate a bit of what he said into the English language. Let's understand.
Yes, briefly, he's saying that anybody that mines on river bodies is a criminal and should be treated as such. And that if that person is caught, he doesn't mind if that person is directly shot and killed, just like criminals are, just like what happens to criminals when they are caught. So, in simple terms, he has no problem at all. He thinks that shoot to kill is the way to go.
Well, more reactions coming in. Statesman Kwame Pienim is worried that all flag bearers have shown little commitment towards dealing with the menace. He's warning against the politicization of the fight against Galamsey.
This issue is too big. It should not be politicized. It's a national issue. Do you want your wife, your sister, your mother, your cousin to wait 9 months to have a baby to deliver this monster? What does it do to them? And health-wise, you are ingesting mercury, cyanide, and all these heavy metals. Your kidney, those of us who have just one kidney or one, your kidney, your liver, are being destroyed. So it doesn't matter how much money you are making on Galamsey, walking through the water, eating, even the water touching your skin and going in. You'll be dead in 4 years, 5 years. Is that what you want? Mm. But this is the information we need. If I'm meeting gardeners, Kontumri and Apim, the plantains, the CSIR should be doing research now. They should be telling us, the Food and Drugs Authority, Ghana Standards Board, should be telling us now, those of us eating gardeners, what fruits, watermelon, pawpaw, mango, what fruit should we be careful about eating because they absorb these heavy metals that will kill us? When you put this information in a way that our journalists understand and our journalists interpret it to the broader people, you are educating all of us. What do politicians on votes? If I'm going to die and I hear you, a politician, you don't have a proposal to solve this, they call it existential threat. It means it will kill us.
All of us.
All of us. If it's existential threat, Ghana, there will be no water here. Mm. We'll migrate to other people's land to go and fetch water. All of us, you are drinking water bottled here from Pong or from Wager. They cannot remove heavy metal from it. Ghana Water Company should tell us that. So you and I are ingesting that. Those few people who made a lot of money from it, the high politicians, may be drinking Evian water. Do you drink Evian water?
No.
Also, all of us are compromised. So if a politician comes and says, this existential threat, I do not have a proposal, credible proposal, for resolving it in 6 months' time, he is not competent to govern this country.
Let's broaden the discussion further and bring in Colonel Festus Abuaji. He is author and security expert. Also, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is communications director of the Association of Small Scale Miners. Colonel, I'm grateful to you for joining. Now, the government has deployed more military men to deal with Galamsey, but we still have more people calling on the president to do more. Let's first analyze the deployment done so far. I'm sure you have followed it. You understand what's happening. What do you make of the action now?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I beg to disagree that the government has declared more or additional military personnel. I don't think that is the case. Because since about 2018, when the Galam stop, 2018-2019, when Galam stop was recalled, there hasn't been any operation. I stand to be corrected. that the government has deployed, or for that matter, any containment operation by the armed forces, by forestry commission, by minerals commission, by whoever. So that government statement is misleading. Now, the priority, about 100 personnel were deployed. Now, that is less than one company, which is one third of a battalion. And they were deployed to one locality on the brim in the Etiwa area. Now, how many rivers are we talking about that are positive? Major rivers. Maybe seven. The Tano, the Brim, the Pra, Bonsa, and all these kinds of rivers. So is it a sufficient effort that of the seven or so major rivers, all of which might run for not less than 100 kilometers from the hinterland to the coast, several points along which Galamsey is going on, that the government deploys 100 soldiers to go to one small locality? Now that shows that the government is not serious about fighting Galamsey. Secondly, I've argued that, and I'm arguing, that for the past 8 years, with all the resources the government has in terms of security, in terms of intelligence, in terms of investigations, the government should have used these resources to map out the Galamsey environment and be able to show on a map, if you sat in a situation room, where these activities are taking place, number one, on which rivers, in which forest reserves, by which groups, led by who, organized by who, financed by who, the nature of the equipment that they are using, the nature of their activities, the degree of the impact. Now, that is how you plan. You plan on the basis of such analysis. So I'm saying that this is not a plan. For instance, how do we know that the 18 Champans probably are one-tenth of the total Champans on our river? We don't know. But the government knows. Or the government ought to know. Because the government is vested with the authority and the resources to use for such work. Secondly, I think the senior citizen who spoke before me mentioned health hazards, health impact, and so on. Now, is the military going to address the health hazards or the impact of Galamsey? Which other institutions or structures within the country are better placed to assess, you know, the nature of the contamination of these rivers?
Well, as we are made to understand by the commander, they will be moving from Birim to the other rivers, and the target is that the rivers should regain their natural statuses. So,
Chief, what I'm suggesting to you is that Ghana has six infantry battalions. Then Ghana has other regiments, the armored regiment, the artillery regiment, the 64 infantry regiment, and so on and so forth. Then we have the Navy. Then we have the Air Force. Now, 100, I'm saying, is less than one company. And then the expanse of the territory impacted by Galamsey is vast. It's across the entire length and breadth of this country, from the black and white voter all the way down to the coast. So how can you suggest to me, if that is your line of argument, that deploying 100 men, officers and men, to a small part of a region to go and, you know, destroy 18 champans, that is enough? Wouldn't you expect, and shouldn't Ghanaians expect, that, to borrow this American terminology, that we could have used a shock and awe, that we woke up yesterday or this morning and then the news narrative was that in Atiwa, in Western North, here, there, about 10 or more places,
including dollar power, that the government had deployed forces, and I mean joint forces, not military. Because that dollar power that I mentioned, for instance, has got women who have been trafficked from other neighboring countries. They've got militia who are armed, who have a command structure, who have a uniform, who have slogans. You see what I mean? So this is a drop in the ocean. And my analysis is that the government is not serious about combating Galamsey. We don't have any sense of the timelines. In fact, the gentleman, from what he told us, the colonel, said maybe 2 weeks. He doesn't know, because that must come from the political objective. In phases, phase one, within 6 months, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do that, we'll destroy this percentage of this, that percentage of that. By the end of that period, the turbidity levels should have dropped from so and so and so and so. You see, that is what you call a plan.
Okay.
But now, what the government has put out in that one pager yesterday with four broad bullet points, that is not a plan.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that this operation of this nature is not sustainable. That the government is only, you know, suggesting that it's doing something. After all, it has only 6 months. Oh, sorry, not 6 months, 2 months. You know, and then we wake up and be saddled 7th of January next year with the same problem.
So, I mean, there have been some proposals that we should implement a shoot to kill order to deal with this. You've been a military person.
Let me stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
If there must be a shoot to kill policy, it must be premised on the acknowledgement that the government has deployed its utmost resources and nothing has happened. But under the circumstances in which this Galamsey is now, we know that the government has not exhausted its resources.
But can't we say so, looking at what they've been able to, they have done from 2017, the deployment of the military to the field and all of that? Can't we say they have gotten to the point
you
where?
You can't say that, Chief.
Okay, all right.
We're using common sense, village wisdom. You see what I mean? During the period 2017-18, somewhere around that time, we started to see clearer waters. By the way, clearer waters doesn't mean that the waters are, you know, safe to drink. But like the senior citizen said, the heavy metals are still in there. It's only the turbidity, you know, that is suspended in there that might have gone down. Now I'm saying that if the water level, the water turbidity started improving in 2017-18, how come there was a reversal? You see, so I dispute the idea that the government has done something and it is continuing. The government stopped. The fraternity that you belong to, media fraternity, I mean Media Foundation for West Africa, a couple of weeks ago showed us data which suggested that when this LI 2462 was being passed before that, before 2023, 13 companies had lined up, registered to be awarded mining licenses. And they are all invariably from the governing party.
Okay.
See what I mean?
My
suggestion is that if we want to be serious about this, which the senior citizen has emphasized, the health hazard that we may have to live with over three generations, 100 years, we haven't seen the results yet.
We need
to do more.
I'm grateful. Kindly hold the line for me.
And the more must be done by those who are given the powers to govern. Period.
Okay. Let me bring in Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who is Communications Director for the Association of Small-Scale Miners, because I hear they plan to restrict the importation of Shanfan machines as part of their long-term effort to rid our water bodies of illegal mining. Abdul, grateful to you for joining. How do you intend to do this?
Thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners. As an association, this is a proposal we have given to government that when it comes to these river bodies, the destructions and those things, is this Champagne machine that people are using to build with floating equipment, and they are on water bodies destroying them. So we have proposed that if government will make them, they should reduce and restrict the importation of these Changfang machines, and then they should be a rule that we need to use to make sure that this importation will be reduced, and then strict for people who are using it for better use. Because the Changfang machines, they are just engines, which you can use to do so many things. You can use it for welding, you can use it for electricity and the rest. But if we are restricted, it will help to reduce this burden on this river body. That is what we propose for the restriction. And another breath.
So, have you put this proposal, before the government?
Exactly. So, I think we start with them, and we give this proposal even the day. We met the ad hoc committee led by Honorable Tandapa. We put it across, and we came with a proposal for that. And it's one of our recommendations that they should do. They should restrict importation of this, because they have some of these machines in there, which they call it the socket. There are some bar that they use, which goes to meet, and it turns the water body underground, so that it will look muddy, and then it will use it to pump. Mm. Those type of chokers cannot be used more than 2 weeks in this country, and it's been manufactured by the Chinese.
Okay.
And if those ones are even banned totally, I don't think these guys can be on this river bodies and still destroy our river bodies.
But why have you also watched on for some members of your association to engage in these kind of illegalities that has brought us to where we are today?
Thank you very much. We have not looked on. I think this issue has been a threat for the whole nation. And we as an association who are doing our job rightfully, I think 2017, there was a blanket ban, which we sat home for 2 good years. And many of our members died because of this thing. Some had strokes and various. But that time, we didn't sit down. We had our own task force who were monitoring our activities and making sure that our members do not fall in victim to this type of thing. I think we confronted government then, and then we told them that, look, let us see how best we can combine the vanguard and then our task force and see how best we can take this people out. That time, government wouldn't listen because there was a total ban. Even notwithstanding, we were able to raise about 3 million Ghana cedis on our own to support our task force. And they were able to destroy about 8,000 Changfang machines. With all this, this government put a blind eye on our side, because we were doing this to let government understand that these illegal miners, we are with them. We know where they are. We know how they operate. And because of that, but if you don't have some backing from government, people will tell, because there were instances that we go to arrest the people, and they send us to court. And we have lawyers who went to school to say, it's a freedom of association. So if the person does not join your association, how do you go in after him? And because of that, we were restricted. So we were concentrating on our members to do the right thing. And since 2017 till date, we have this industry or institutions who are supervising our activities, the Minerals Commission, the EPA, and the Water Resources. And none of them have come to say that the license that they've issued to us, we are doing the wrong thing, and because of that, we should be banned. And as at now, the monitoring and things that they do, especially the respective divisions, they are always on our neck to do the right thing. So sometimes we feel very bad to see people blending us. Some are saying that it is small-scale, illegal small-scale mining. Meanwhile, we don't have any illegal small-scale mining. It is either illegal and legal. Whether large or small, if the person is doing illegalities, let us treat it as it. If it is an issue that we need to talk, or to see to it that the destruction of our forest body and then the river banks, we all see, have to look at it holistically, then we take it that way. So not that we sat down and we didn't do anything about it, but that time the government wouldn't listen because they thought they would have used all the machinery that they have to fight it. Even we brought ideas,
okay.
Even the community mining model for instance, it came from our side.
Okay.
We sat with government and then we told them that look, that about 85% of mineable land belong to large scale companies.
But-